Hi, this is Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of the Sonic Scoop podcast. And today, we're going to be talking about releasing music and how releasing music and getting your music heard is about more than just releasing music and about more than just getting your music heard. You should have something to offer your listeners, your potential fans, other than just music. Now, when I get into this topic and I give people this advice on the internet, there will be the inevitable feedback of, it should be just about music. Like, there's so many gimmicks that people do. And people will get annoyed at the suggestion that there should be more to your music than just music. And I get that, because to me, the most important part of music is music. Like, ultimately, at the end of the day, does it sound good? Is it fun to listen to? But there's so much that comes before that, before getting to the point where a listener is engaging with your music and feeling like an emotional impact from the art that you've created. The reality is, there's actually a surprising amount of good music in the world, and a lot of it barely ever gets heard. Don't get me wrong, there's also a tremendous amount of crap music. And, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder. Watch good music and watch crap music, you know? There is a lot of music that's being put out today by people who are new at music, who aren't very good at it yet. They're not masterful yet. But even in their work, there's often something cool that you could find to complement within it. But there's also a tremendous number, you probably know some, of people who make mind-bogglingly good music that has made your hair stand on end, and no one has ever heard of it. And this happens to me, because a dirty little secret in the music business is people who work professionally in music, like I work, technically I'm professional in music, right? Because I make my living completely off of doing music and audio production stuff, and talking about music and audio production stuff and helping other people do it, right? So as a mastering engineer, I work like I get paid to do it, and it helps me pay my mortgage and for all my food and feed my kids and send her to school and all that stuff, right? But one of the secrets that professionals, even the biggest professionals, a lot of their work is actually with just really passionate hobbyists or amateurs or aspiring professionals, many of whom never go on to become professionals. Now, the proportions vary, but if you look at the biggest mastering engineers in the world who do, you know, all of the major label releases, still a lot of the work that the projects they work on might be projects that never make back their costs. Most music projects, even the heyday of major labels, when there was like millions upon millions flying around the music industry and all these big fancy studios with the big fancy analog consoles, most releases by most professional artists signed to major labels, most of those releases lost money. Most of them were never financially viable. And you'd have a handful of big successes paying for the experimentation with all these other artists who never kind of wound up really breaking even on just making music releases. So that is a long, rambly way of saying I have worked with a lot of artists who are amazing, who practically no one has heard. And they're heard maybe by some of their friends, some of the shows that they play, but some of the quality of these productions that don't find a wide audience is really good. And you might be one of those people. So, if your ultimate goal is to get your music heard by lots of people, or if your ultimate goal is to make music financially sustainable for you so you can devote a lot of time and energy to it, then you've got to have something else to offer listeners than just music. Music might be, and hopefully is, like the most important thing that you offer. But when you think about it, a lot of your favorite artists, a lot of your favorite releases have offered you more than just their music. Even if their music was the most important thing that they offered you. And I want to go into some concrete examples in today's podcast episode. I think we've kind of established the concept, but I want to give you some examples and some ways that you can apply this in your own work, in your own life, in your own career. Before I do that, I've just got to give the briefest of shout-outs to our sponsors, because it's a podcast, and podcasts have sponsors, at least ones that continue on because they're sustainable, because they, you know, make enough money to exist. So, big shout out and thanks, first of all, to you. You can always sponsor this podcast with your likes by smashing the like button, commenting, saying nice things down below, or terribly mean things that actually also help the algorithm. So you can do either one. But you can, the best way to sponsor this financially is to sponsor yourself. Get better in your own career by checking out one of our full-length courses like Mixing Breakthroughs. You can check out mixingbreakthroughs.com. It will make you mix faster, better, with more confidence than ever before. Your finishing rate's gonna go way up. You're gonna finish mixes faster, but they're gonna sound better, and you're gonna know what you're doing. You're gonna have a plan of attack, a roadmap, a system for completing each and every mix that you can adapt to your own personal style. Check that out over at mixingbreakthroughs.com and literally stop being confused and dismayed about the process of mixing. It's gonna make it fun for you again. Also, if you want to check out everything I know about mastering, which is the main thing I do these days, you can check that out over at masteringdemystified.com. Free money-back guarantee on both of these. Also, big shout-out to SoundToys, making some of my favorite creative mixing effects in the known universe. Their plugins are all over the work of some of the best mixers in the universe currently. If you check out our MixCon masterclasses, super popular masterclasses with hundreds of thousands and even millions of views on some of these, you find SoundToys plugins all over them because they're so fun to use, they sound great, and they get you the results you want quickly. Check out anything they make for free for 30 days over at soundtoys.com. Also, big shout-out and thanks to Focusrite, making some of the best values and interfaces out there with extremely high quality $2 ratio, from their entry-level Scarlett line through their mid-range Claret series all the way up to their high-end RedNet series. It is hard to find more bang for the buck and more value and quality for your dollar than you're going to with Focusrite. They've been one of the leaders in making interfaces for decades now for good reason. So check them out at Focusrite.com. All right, let's get even deeper into today's topic. The idea that you got to offer more than just music. Because there's actually a lot of people making really good music who don't get it heard. And maybe you're one of them. So there's a couple things I want you to think about. One of the things I notice with some artists who don't really take off is that they will, this is the most classic sad case, they'll make like a 12-song album, record them, mix them all at once, get them mastered, and then release them all at once. With no strategy, no plan, no way to actually expect this to get heard. So that's sad state of affairs number one. So right off the bat, I'm going to say, don't do that. Don't release a full album into an audience that doesn't exist yet. Build the audience. And once you have the audience, then release them a full album. Now, the caveat to this is, if you are okay with your album just being a passion project that you did because it was a piece of art that you had inside of you, you really wanted to get it out, and you really don't care if the only people who ever hear it are your friends and family and your significant other. And that's okay. That's what music should be for some of us. But for those of you who are taking this stuff so seriously, you're listening to all these podcasts, you actually want like strangers to hear it and be as excited by it as you are, then you're going to have to come up with a plan and a strategy. And that means that you're probably going to have to release singles at first. But find out something to do that's more than just releasing the song. You want to find ways to connect with your audience. So one first obvious step here is to have more than just a song, have a video, right? One of the mistakes I see some artists make who have beautiful sounding, really intricate productions is that they'll then slap together a kind of really haphazard video that doesn't stand up to the quality and level of the music production. And it's almost better that you have an extremely simple and minimalist video that's easy to execute, but looks beautiful for what it is, and that matches the beauty of your music, than to have a really poorly put together, complex, and ambitious video. So that's one thing to think about. But I have to admit that I've actually worked with artists who have put out amazing sounding productions that have beautiful videos to go along with them that still also haven't taken off and haven't found an audience. And in these cases, it's not that the quality of the work isn't good. Like, there's been tremendous projects that I've been part of that just never found a big audience. And it wasn't because of the lack of quality in either the music or the video. So what are some of the other things to look at? What are some of the things that your favorite artists have given you? And I think one of the most important things is story. And story is a lot of what people buy into when they buy into music. It could be the story of the person or the story of the movement or the place that they're part of. What kinds of stories are you telling along with your music? Because ultimately, that's the most powerful thing in all of marketing. And that's what we're talking about right now, is like marketing your music. It's a weird, dirty word because it sounds businessy, right? It's like what Coca-Cola does and drug companies do. It's not what artists do. No, artists have to market, which basically means exposing what they do to people who might like it and connecting with them. And the most powerful part of marketing, the most powerful part of connecting with the potential end listener, is the stories that you're telling. So how do you tell those stories? What is your story and what's the vehicle? And then the third big thing is the dirtiest part of music completely, because it has nothing to do with sound. And that is the visual aspect of what you're doing. The aesthetic presentation. The look of what's going on. Like, we'll take someone who's very successful today. Billie Eilish, right? Practically everyone knows who Billie Eilish is who's listening to this. Whether or not you like Billie Eilish or not is insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But you could learn something from Billie Eilish. She's obviously concerned with fashion, aesthetics, as she is concerned with music. And people who like her productions really love the sound and the texture of her productions. And there's an aspect of that in what she's doing visually as well. But there's also a story that people connect with. She's a little weird. She kind of has, you know, borderline Tourette's. And there are these little glimpses of personal life that people really connect with. And this is just one example because it was obvious and top of mind. Someone used Billie Eilish as a reference for something I was mastering today. But I think you get the idea. You can find that in anything. I mean, it really doesn't matter what the genre is. You can find this in Kurt Cobain and Nirvana. You don't, like, I was the biggest Nirvana fan when I was a teenager. I had rips in my jeans bigger than my head, okay? This was my favorite band from when I was like 12 to like 17, okay? And as much as I absolutely loved the music at that point, there were other things that were being offered there to me. There was a connection of story. There was connection along the lines of aesthetics. And there's this other part of music, this tribe that people can belong to. What is the thing, the movement, the tribe that they can belong to by being a fan of your music? So those are the big things that really go along with almost all music successes. There is the sense of story. There's the sense of visual aesthetic. There's a sense of belonging in a tribe. There's also another one, the sense of experience. And this is a big thing that a lot of people get out of their favorite artists. And what so many of the most successful artists in the genre that you're in right now have done well, which is connecting with people in a live setting. Ideally, and I know this has not been possible as well in the past year or so, I'm recording this in 2021. So for all of those future historians, there was some weirdness going on at this point that made it harder for people to go to like physical concerts. But that's a huge thing. And that's going to come back. This is like a blip in human history that we don't have human beings coming together to listen to music they really love together, resonating at like the same frequency as people on a stage up there. I mean, it is the best mini vacation you can buy is a concert. You get transported to another world. You connect to the people around you without even having to talk to them in like a deep and meaningful way. You connect with the artists. And you have a physical, visceral experience that encompasses all your senses. Like a good concert is an unforgettable temporary teleportation to another universe. And then you come back. So that's something to focus on doing really well. Now, the problem is that when you get started, your attempts at all of these are going to fail, most likely, in large part because they didn't get in front of the right people. And by the right people, I don't necessarily mean industry bigwigs, I mean end listeners. And even back in the day, the right people, like the industry bigwigs, they were the right people because they helped people connect to the really right people, the end listeners. So you're going to have to try this again and again and again and again and again. And you're going to have to face silence and silence and like one like on your social media page. And you're going to face that again and again. But anything you do a lot, you'll get good at. And anything you do a lot, you'll probably get to a place where others will value it. But another thing to think about is who you can connect with that are going to help you deliver these things to end listeners. I actually have an entire video about that called How to Get Your Music Heard by Actual People. And this is about connecting with the people who are going to help amplify your reach. There are publicists, yes, that's one part of it, like paid publicists, but there are journalists and bloggers and influencers and people who run playlists and their own social media pages. And there's whole businesses out there that help new artists premiere their work. I guess that all I'm saying ultimately is you need to think about two additional things. One, what else are you offering besides your music if you really want to connect with and have an audience that makes music a sustainable career for you, if that's what you want out of it? You need to figure out who you're going to connect with to help get those other things in front of those potential end listeners. And you want to put enough attention into the whole marketing and connection thing that it makes your efforts in creating great, beautifully produced, recorded music worthwhile. Because honestly, great, beautifully produced recorded music is not that rare anymore. There was a time when it was rare, but that time is decades ago now. There are incredibly talented people right now today recording things that could have been on one of the big labels years ago that are of that quality that just don't find an audience. And it's not because of the quality of the music. It's because of missing ingredients in one of these other areas. Now, you can feel one of two ways. All of this could be really exciting to you. And if so, awesome. Your chances are very high that you're going to hit the ground running with some of this stuff and hopefully stick with it because I think consistency is key. Or you could feel really defeated about it. And you could complain about it. And you could say, oh, those people are only successful because they told a really good story. Or, oh, those people are only successful because they're good at fashion. And that's what people really tuned into. Well, I'll tell you what. If you ever want to go out and sell a story or sell fashion, that's also really, really hard to do. Like, if that's someone's main art form, storytelling or fashion or something like that, man, try being a success in one of those fields. Ain't easy either. What it really means is that to be successful career-wise, financially, in music, it's one of those takes a village kind of things where you've got to connect with other people who are going to help amplify what you're doing. Because really, nobody, just about nobody, succeeds in complete isolation. Maybe we'll do an episode one of these days about the myth of the lone genius. Because it really is a myth. There's a lot you can do by yourself, but you can't do everything by yourself. So how do you get other people involved in your story? How do you get other people to help tell your story? I have another video that goes into some ideas on that, how to get your music heard by actual people. look into it. But for today, I just want to leave you with that to meditate on, which is, what is it that you are uniquely capable of offering your audience in addition to your music? Because it can't be just your music. The music might be the most important part. The music might be the thing that makes them really stick around and keep coming back to you. But there's got to be a little bit more than that too. All right, I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Sonic Scoop podcast. Big thanks to our sponsors. Our sponsors do include you if you want to buy one of our premium courses like Mixing Breakthroughs, which you can check out over at mixingbreakthroughs.com. It will improve the way that you mix and give you a roadmap and a real guide to mixing, how to do it, the best order of operations to get you mixing more creatively, more effectively, the better results, and faster than you ever have before. Your finishing rate is going to go way up, as is your quality of results, as is your pride and confidence in the work that you've done. Check it out at mixingbreakthroughs.com. Or if you want to learn everything I know about mastering, you can check that course out at masteringdemystified.com. Full money back guarantee on both of these. Big shout out and thanks to Soundtoys, making some of my favorite creative mixing effects in the known universe, as well as Focusrite, making some of the best interfaces out there from the entry-level Scarlett line all the way up to the high-end RedNet series. Going to be hard to find more quality for your dollar than you're going to out of Focusrite. So check them out over at Focusrite.com if you're on the market for an interface. Thanks for hanging out with me. This has been Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. See you next time.